San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from the blustery studios of KFMB AM in San Diego. We are coming to you with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast to Seattle on a good night, out to the desert. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a marathon runner and enthusiast. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He is a core member of a Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable. He's a philanthropist. He's a family office advisor to many high net worth families. I'm out of breath. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I had to use the windshield wipers driving over. I hate it when that happens.
Man, I was waiting for the sun to get me. I went on my little Weather Channel weather app thingy and said that, the sun was going to come out yesterday, I haven't seen it in 2 days.
We're so spoiled in San Diego.
We most certainly
are. It only hit 67 today. Goodness sakes, the things we have to put up with.
Yeah, I saw Wrigley Field. It looks like pretty desolate. There's not even any ivy on the walls. I was watching Cubs a little bit. So
not yet.
Hey, what do you think? I went to a baseball game and a hockey game broke out.
Oh, man. I had those tickets and I sold them to a buddy and... I don't know. I mean, the Dodgers didn't see, what was the name of that movie? A League of Their Own? Madonna and Gina Davis and Tom Hanks. You know, the part about there's no crying in baseball?
Yeah.
Well, the Dodger crybaby, Zach Greinke and Don Mattingly and Matt Kemp. There's no crying in baseball, you guys. We'll send you some Kleenex.
Maybe they ought to combine baseball and ultimate fighting or mixed martial arts, and I bet they would fill the stands.
Although, I guess being out on the West Coast, I guess since the Dodgers are on the West Coast, it's okay for baseball players to get in touch with their feelings and occasionally get together and have a good cry together.
It's a little early in the season, though, for brawls, isn't it?
I guess.
Well, let's hope we can win some games here. A lot of run heartbreakers here, huh?
No, it's a lousy baseball team in San Diego.
Well, let's hope they turn it around. Maybe Jerry Gross, when we have him on for our Mother's Day Massacre show in May, he'll talk more about that.
We'll see. We'll see. Hey, I wanted to thank the good folks at La Valencia in La Jolla and Mark DiBella. It was my daughter Demi's spring break this past week, so she wanted to spend a night down at the lovely La V. Mm-hmm. So she and Mary... Well, I booked a room for them, and they spent the night down there on Wednesday night, and then Demi's friends came over Thursday to tear up the town of La Jolla.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of 16 and 17-year-old teenagers. Had a blast, but as always, great stay, great service, great food.
Mm-hmm.
Mark,
mm-hmm.
really appreciate you setting that up for my daughter.
We got to get
and the rest
there.
Of the family.
Yeah, and we have to check out the remodel. I mean, they have
it's coming along great.
Yeah, the Whaling Bar is going to close or has closed. Right, is it closed right now?
It's closed. Yeah, and the sign said I think June or July for the reopening of Cafe La Rue and its new format. Going to be much more open. Yeah. It's going to be great.
Well, I'm sure it's going to just be a big improvement for the neighborhood, and we'll have to get up there and sample it. Hey, what do you hear about the Jackie Robinson film? I heard 42 is pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Heard it's great. I guess tomorrow, April 15th, is not only tax day, it's Jackie Robinson Day.
Mm. I ran into one of our former guests, County Treasurer Dan McAllister, at Vaughn's in PB, of all places, last week, one night, and...
What does that have to do with Jackie Robinson?
Well, he told me he just saw a preview of this film, and he was very inspired by it. So,
okay, so here's the trivia question of the night.
All right.
If anybody knows this, call in. Jackie Robinson, in his first year with the Dodgers in 1947, lived with a family in Brooklyn. Because, back then, baseball players who weren't local would live with families.
Huh.
That were friends of the team who lived near, and of course, they played in Brooklyn.
And what year? 40?
That was 47 when he played with the Dodgers.
Okay, Brooklyn Dodgers. Right.
But the family wound up having a very prominent daughter as a performing artist. Do you know who that family is?
What?
Performing artist. Yeah, singer. I'll tell you at the end of the show. Or if anybody knows out there, call in.
Well, I'm just going to start Googling away here.
Yeah, you're going to Google away.
Or Wikipedia.
I know. Cheater. Anyway.
Hey, our best to Ingrid Croce, by the way. I saw her on another station this morning, and apparently she's been down in the gas lamp. She was the pioneer down there when it was, not such a hot area. And she's in, a 2-year dispute with her landlord. Apparently going to close and find another place to open up a restaurant and a jazz bar. So our best to her. I know her personally. She's a sweetheart of a person and a real pioneer. So I hope everything works out for her. You been down there at all, Richard?
Yeah, I have. I was down there about a month ago hanging out at the old spaghetti factory. and running a race down there. And I guess, you know, it's really tough what's happening down there because people who start, you know, the pioneers, they were probably paying 50 cents a square foot. And now, of course, the whole thing's been re-gentrified and rents have gone through the roof.
Yeah.
I mean, there's good news and bad news, I guess, always hand in hand that goes together.
I know, but I kind of consider her an anchor tenant of the Gas Lamp and, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's a real institution.
Yeah. Anyway, let's hope things work out for the best, and I'll certainly will patronize our new location wherever it is. So,
all right, should we introduce our guest? Because I think he's on the line.
I think we should.
He should. His name is Eric Swanson. He's the Habitude Warrior. Eric, are you with us?
I am. I'm right here, guys.
sorry to keep you waiting with all of our meaningless drivel.
What are you talking about? I'm Googling performer artist. I
want to
win.
You want
to
win, yeah.
Yeah, man. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. You're down in Austin right now, right?
Yeah, I'm in beautiful Austin right now.
It's a cool place. The editor of my next book is down in Austin. A guy named Bill Crawford. He wrote Stevie Ray Vaughan's biography.
Oh, very nice.
So he's supposed to have, if you know him, tell him he promised something to me by tomorrow, so he better deliver.
I'll double check.
Okay.
Anyway, why don't we find out who Eric Swanson is, where you originated from, Eric, and a little bio to start with, and then we'll get into your professional skills and such. So.
Yeah, sure. Well, let's see. I was born and raised in Washington, D.C. area. Okay. Beautiful D.C. Yeah. And, it was awesome. It was, as I tell people, it was my character building years.
Really? I think it still builds character if you happen to be situated in Washington, D.C., but so much for sequestration.
were your folks working in government or in politics or anything like that? Or
no, actually, my father was working with the subway system there, Metro subway system. He was the head of litigations over there. So that was pretty cool, and it was it's kind of funny. My father would take the subway. I mean, he would use his own work, obviously. So he took the subway and the bus from our place in Potomac, Maryland, over to downtown to the subway system. Mm-hmm. You know, for his offices. And it was kind of funny because every traffic and everything down there. It's about a 2-hour drive with the bus and with the subway and everything. And the bus drivers knew him. They're like, Mr. Swanson, it's time to wake up. He was the whole way there and back. It was hilarious.
Well, they have a pretty good metro system there, don't they? In Washington, from what I understand, a public transportation system compared to
it's very, very good down there. In fact, everyone, if you're a professional in business at all, I mean, you're subwaying it the whole time. Mm-hmm. No need to drive down there.
Little note of trivia, the Governor Dukakis, who we were trying to get on the show, we'll get him at some point, but even as governor, he would ride the metro or whatever the system is in Boston. I think they call it the T, but every day, even as governor, he would ride the electric trains to work. So there's something to be said for good. We don't have that in San Diego over here. We live on the freeway a lot over here. So, but anyway, born and raised in Washington, went to school, grade school, high school, college there, or?
Yeah, I went to grade school there and some high school. Then I headed up to college up in Vermont, Burlington, Vermont. I went to the University of Vermont. So that was kind of fun, a little drastic change from D.C. to Vermont. A little slower pace. I had to slow it down. Yeah. So that was kind of fun. And then I ended up heading out to San Francisco. It was funny. My brother's like, hey, what are you doing? I said, nothing. He goes, well, let's go travel. Let's cruise to California. I'm like, all right, let's go. So we were supposed to head down to Newport Beach. That was our goal. And we ended up we took the Highway 80, I think, was across the states. Mm-hmm. And ended up in Reno on the way down towards Newport Beach, which was a big mistake. Mm-hmm. We both thought that it was really a cool idea to bet on black or red or whatever. We had a 50-50 chance of winning. not going to happen. And we all lost all our money in Reno and had one tank of gas left to head down to Newport Beach. And if you know, from Reno, one tank of gas, you end up on the top of the hill of California Street in San Francisco.
Right.
We ended up having to get some jobs, and, you know, basically we lived out of our car for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, until we We got some jobs waiting tables there and fell in love with the city, and just ended up staying there for about 3-4 years until, that was my introduction to California, which is pretty cool.
Ought to be young again, right?
Yeah, it was awesome.
But what was your path, though, to doing what you're doing now, even though we haven't really described what you've done yet? What happened when you got out here?
Well, let's see. Well, when I got out to San Francisco, I mean, I was young, and turned out that I ended up traveling from there. My brother calls me up one day after we had settled in about 3 years into San Fran, and he said the same thing. Hey, what are you doing? I said, nothing. He goes, well, let's go learn some Spanish. I said, all right, that sounds fun. I'm thinking, you know, let's go to a class, or, you know, go to the library, go check out some books, Rosetta Stone or something. He's like, no, let's move. Let's go to an island. I'm like, all right. So we ended up picking Puerto Rico, and because it was a little easy to get in there, and, you know, U.S. bound and so forth. So we headed to lived out there for a little bit. I got a little island fever, so I came back and ended up moving to Austin, Texas, when I was in my 20s. And that's how I got picked up in this business. Ended up meeting a guy named Brian Tracy, basically waiting tables on a recruiter, Brian Tracy's. And obviously a lot of your business folks will know who Brian Tracy is, a well-known author and speaker and coach in business.
He's actually one of my neighbors here in Solana Beach. And in fact, Brian and I have the same tailor up in Beverly Hills, a guy named Greg Chapman, who's incredible.
Very nice.
So
very
talk
nice.
About a small world.
Yeah, that's true. Yep,
so what year did you meet Brian, roughly?
Wow.
Or how long ago?
97, I guess it was.
Okay, so it's been more than 15 years. Okay.
Yeah, about 15 years.
Did you start working with him, or what happened?
I did, yeah. Became a trainer of Brian's and ended up working with him and in and out of different cities throughout the United States. Apparently, I had the traveling bug from my brother instilling it in my heart from the start, so... Ended up traveling around with Brian Tracy's group and just working in and out of different cities throughout the U.S.
Hmm. And that sort of gave you the bug to, because, you do a couple of things. You're known as the Habitude Warrior. I'm going to ask you what that means, but you also run a company called Universal Seminars, right?
Correct. Exactly. Yeah, I worked with Brian for, I guess it was about 4 or 5 years, traveling around and becoming a senior trainer. And then one of the first things that Brian taught me early on was to diversify myself and not just learn or love 100% of his information, but actually, you know, diversify myself and work with other trainers, other speakers, other authors, and just really mold myself, you know, which what I learned from Jim Rohn when I worked with him for a little bit, you know, work harder on yourself than your job and everything else will flourish around you. So I started doing that and really working on my habits, and that's kind of the genesis of the Habitude Warriorship, and I can explain that a little later on in the program.
Yeah, we're coming up on a break, so yeah. I want to...
Yeah, just hang on right there. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life after these announcements. All right, we're back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life with Richard Musio and our special guest in Austin, Texas, Eric Swanson, founder, CEO of Universal Seminars. Welcome back, everybody.
Thanks, Joe. So, Eric, you are the Habitude Warrior. I think everybody knows what a warrior is, but what is Habitude, and why do you combine it with the word warrior?
Absolutely. Well, what I did was I decided early on that just looking around, everyone's creatures of habit. I mean, you'd agree with your... do you think that everyone's creatures of habit? What do you guys think?
Sure.
Most people are, but I actually am not, but most people are, yeah.
You're not really?
I'm really, yeah.
Oh, come on, Rich. What kind of toothpaste do you use? You use the same toothpaste.
I don't know what kind of toothpaste I use. I can't even tell you what kind of toothpaste I use.
Well, long have you used some, I guess.
It's true. I mean, so many people, I agree with you, Joe. Everyone gets up in the morning, they do the same thing, they go out there, they do the same thing, and basically, well, except for you, Richard.
Yeah.
Everyone has these rituals, and they allow, it goes deeper where, in my opinion, they allow other people to affect their lives and they react to it in a certain habitual way as well.
Well, yeah, I definitely agree with that part where people sort of become what other people try to make them become. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely does. You know, and I think that you can break out of that mold of allowing other people to determine what you're gonna, your life is gonna turn out to be, or outcome, or even in the smallest, your day is gonna turn out to be like. I mean, people go to work every day and do the same thing. They see the same people and they have the same attitudes. And then what happens is those attitudes rub off on you, and you bring that home to your family. So what I decided to do was change it around a little bit and just grab hold. That's where the warrior comes into play. Grab hold of your habits and your attitude and just change it around on a consistent level. And I feel that so many people are habitual that they need to take a look at their habits and see what they can change just slightly to have that winning edge theory. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. See, I do 12 things at once constantly, and every day I do a different set of 12 different things at once constantly. But I found that that's a lot cheaper than being on medication for ADD.
We got to break that multitasking habit there.
So that's why I do it that way. But it's just a business decision. So.
I love the fact I heard the other day that somebody says, hey, you know what drug that salespeople are taking nowadays? And it's called hopium.
Hopium, yeah, I love that. Yeah. Well, look, one of your speakers is a gentleman named Les Brown, who's, well, one of the most amazing speakers I've ever heard. But I heard Les say once upon a time that life is a constant battle for territory. And I think he was sort of referring to what you're saying, is that the people around you, the circumstances around you, sort of affect the territory that you control or operate in or find yourself in.
Yeah, let me give you a quick eye opener about that. This is going to be awesome for you. The territory that Les was actually referring to is the 6 inches between your ears.
Okay. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's not the territory on the outside; it's the territory on the inside.
Right.
It's your brain waves. It's your attitude. It's your belief systems. It's almost like what Deepak Chopra says to us. I'm friends with Deepak's nephew, Bharat, over here in Austin, Texas area, and he talks about Deepak saying this where how many people are you allowing other people to rent space in your mind on a consistent level, and you're not even charging them rent for it, which is very interesting to me. So I decided, it's time to take charge of your habits and your attitudes and just do that on a daily basis. So you'll find me going, changing my habits daily for the better, of course, and changing other people's at the same time. Like I've got something called the Secret Habitudes, and I go through literally about 50 different training sessions or systems with my clients, and I could take you through a few of them today if you'd like.
Yeah, I'd like to. But when I say that I don't have habits, I mean obviously I do repeat some behaviors. But like my wife took up long distance running a couple months ago, and she's really good at it. And I'm a long distance runner, right? And so she said to me, she said, "Richard, what's your pre-race routine?" And I said, "Well, I don't think I have one, because every time I race, I wear a different shirt, different shoes, different socks. I eat a different breakfast. I never like repeat anything."
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason why I do that. I guess it's just the way I'm wired. But I don't have these routines. I'm an old baseball player too. Most baseball players I know, they repeat every single thing they do. But I was never that way. Maybe I was just lucky.
Well,
you ever touch a stone halfway through the touch a marker, let's say, halfway through your 13, 14-mile run?
No, I don't.
You don't do that either?
No,
Maybe your habit is not to have habits.
My habit is not to have habits, exactly.
Do you get on the same side of the bed every morning?
Well, yeah, I sleep on the same side of the bed, so unless I want to crawl over my wife, geez.
I had a question, though, Eric. Now, your seminars, they're mostly designed for professionals, I guess, trying to improve their professional life, but how about people in their personal lives? Does this apply to that as well? In other words, someone might be functioning at a very high level professionally, but domestically or personally, they might be, hoping they can do better. So would you be able to help someone out like that as well?
Oh, absolutely. It's actually funny that you bring that up, because that's exactly what we do. Is we don't like to just steer in the professional realm, but also in the personal realm, because the way we figure it's all relevant within your whole entire life. Mm-hmm. And I've got something called the cycle of achievement, where if you could picture this, I draw a little circle on a piece of paper or the board. and you put on the top left-hand side of the circle, we're going to put a lot of things around it. The first thing will be, let's say, income. So you're talking about, you know, your money and investments and income. The second major habit in your life would be your career, which could slightly be different than your income, of course, you know, building up a new career pattern or something you're really passionate about, which sometimes you got to take a dip in the income to increase your career, let's say. And then the third one would be a spiritual, you know, no matter which spiritual you are. Mm-hmm. The fourth major item would be your health and fitness. And then the fifth, of course, will be your family and relationships. So what I love telling my clients before they come through any of our events throughout the nation, we always make sure that they know, hey, look, these things are not just for the salespeople or entrepreneurs or business owners. This is for your personal life as well. You know, how many of you all have noticed that when you're working on your business life and that's going really well, then sometimes your health and fitness takes a dip. Of course, not you, Richard. I mean, wow. That's awesome.
I try.
or our family, you know, relationships are like, you know, need a little help there. So I actually lost, in the course of about a 16-week period, I lost 24 pounds, or 23 pounds, actually.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. So what I decided to do was I just decided to use my own habitudes and the training of setting specific goals and just doing it organically instead of, you know, taking a potion or a pill or, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there. I'm sure half of it's great, half it's not. But what I want to do is just get back to the basics of my habits. And it's almost like a series of not just to-do lists, but not to-do lists. You know, what are things that you can change in your daily life that you can get rid of or eliminate that you're doing that will help you and be more successful in that area. So that's how I literally lost my 23 pounds.
You know, I love that comment because people ask me if I have a to-do list, and I say, no, I don't. I have a won't-do list.
We've got a to-do list right
but
now.
But we got habits at this radio station.
Yes.
Every 15 minutes, we take a break.
Yeah, so hang on. We've got a to-do list of commercials, announcements. We'll be right back with more of Someone in Your Life right after this. Welcome back for the second half of It's Your Money and Your Life. And now over to Richard to thank all of our wonderful sponsors.
We should thank all of our wonderful sponsors. And let me tell you who they are. I can do this from memory. We've got our major sponsor, UBS, Mr. Drew Freitas, Mr. Michael Caronta, very much appreciated gentleman. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, the best CFO service on the planet. Joel Grushkin and Cost Segregation Initiatives. Joel just saved one of my clients hundreds of thousands of dollars, one of my real estate owners. And if you're a real estate owner and want to improve your cash flow, cost segregation, Joel Grushkin with Cost Seg Initiatives. Our favorite CPAs, Plato Epic CPAs in Vista. One more day to go during tax season, you guys. Tomorrow's April 15th. I hope you're still alive. Sean Puckett, the best business banker in San Diego with the best business bank in San Diego. That would be Regents Bank. Carl Sheeler with Business Valuations Limited. And last but not least, and I think he's our guest in 2 weeks, Mr. Rich Gaines with Family Legacy Legal, a great estate planning attorney. And Joe, how can our listeners find out more?
Well, if they go to our website at iymoney.com, click on the sponsors tab. All of their biographical information, their professional background, their contact info is right there. And it's for Joel Grushkin, it's costseganalyst.com. And Eric in Austin, how about your contact info? Eric, are you there?
They reached me. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. My website is universalseminars.com, and they can always reach us at 888-210-8020.
Excellent.
So, Eric, you were talking about, well, a couple of different things, but I want to go back to you met with Brian Tracy. You sort of alluded to something which I call, I guess, collaboration, or to put it differently, the people that you spend your time with. Has that been a key issue in terms of your success and your company's success?
Oh, without a doubt. Absolutely. I'm going to say it again, without a doubt. I noticed that actually you've got a guest coming up, or I'm not sure if he was a previous guest. Looks like Don Green was up
Don
there.
Don was on last Sunday from the CEO of the Napoleon Hill Foundation. What a great guy. Great new book.
He is awesome. Yeah, he's a friend of mine, and I share the stage with him in different places. And right now, you know, I'm surrounding myself with what I call the successful family or the sandbox, and, you know, people like Les Brown and Brian Tracy and John Astroff and, you know, Jim Rohn back in the day, and all these amazing speakers and trainers that just give you, for me, a lot of two or three things. One, they give me insight. Two, they give me different habits that I need to emulate. You know, they say success leaves clues, and I highly recommend that and believe that. So what I want to do is I don't want to reinvent the wheel. It's already spinning. It's already going. Let's just see if we can move it around a little bit, tweak it a little bit to make it more efficient. You know, so it's a Ferrari rather than a Pinto.
You know, there's a great documentary called The Kid Stays in the Picture about legendary Hollywood producer Robert Evans. Are you familiar with it at all or hadn't heard of it?
I have not, no.
Anyway, he produced some films you might have heard of, The Godfather, Chinatown, you know, big. He took Paramount from number 9 to number 1 in terms of, I guess, revenue and success. But he's got a quote that says, success occurs when preparation meets opportunity, and obviously that's occurred in your life, right?
Yeah, you know, they say it's very similar to when people say, well, that's lucky. And I believe luck is when opportunity meets that preparedness, is like you just mentioned, you know. And they also say that knowledge is power. And I used to believe that for years until somebody told me, hey, you know, knowledge is potential power. Because you could have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't actually implement it or use it, then what's it worth?
Exactly, or learn how to express it, right? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Don Green mentioned about the power of thoughts and beliefs, and then how you have to translate that into some sort of action and hopefully into some, shall we say, very positive habits.
Absolutely.
And it's very powerful. So, hey, Eric, can I mention some of the speakers that Universal Seminar works with, and can you tell everybody out there who these people are? We've already mentioned Brian Tracy, but I'm going to just throw some names out. John Astroff.
Yeah, John's great, great gentleman. He's, as a lot of you know him probably from The Secret, just a great mindset. He takes your mind and shows you a little quantum physics into there and your attitudes and puts them together and shows you how to be successful. Great gentleman.
How about Dave Stanley?
Dave Stanley, oh man, you guys. A lot of people don't know who Dave Stanley is.
Do
you? Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we should put that as another. I'm still, by the way, I'm Googling over here. I'm trying to do 12 things at once, like Richard does. I'm still trying to figure out this Jackie Robinson answer.
Yeah.
But Dave, man, I tell you what, David Stanley is just a great gentleman. He's the one of the brothers of Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a filmmaker, a producer, and he's actually doing a new film of the early ages and a young, you know, growing up with Elvis. And just amazing gentleman. So, give me another one.
this is a gentleman I'm writing a book with later in the year, a guy named Frank Shankwitz.
Oh, man, Frank Shankwitz. Oh, man, he's just such a dear, dear guy, dear friend of mine.
What did he do? Everybody knows. Well, everybody doesn't know what he did, but everybody's heard of what he created.
Yeah, you know, when I talk to people about Frank, I'll tell you the way I introduce Frank. In my seminars, let's say I'm talking about him for, you know, his name just comes up, and I say, hey, how many of y'all know Frank Shankwitz? And like two people raise their hands out of 1,000. I'm like, no. I go, no. All of you, put your hands up, because all of you know who Frank Shankwitz is. Let me just explain this quick story. This gentleman that I surround myself with, who's an awesome guy, he and I text back and forth and so forth and collaborate on different things. But he was back in, I think it was 1980 or so, ended up having a neighbor come over to his house in Phoenix, Arizona area. I think it was like Prescott area. And they knock on the door and they say, you know, Frank, we got to talk to you. We have a serious thing to talk to you about. And he's like, you know, he was real busy at the time, and he actually turned to them and said, not now.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was worrying about his stuff, his bills, his deal, you know.
Arizona Highway Patrolman, just to fill
exactly.
in. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And then and they said, no, we really need to talk to you. You know, I envision this kitchen door, you know, the neighbor comes over, knocks on the door, and you can kind of see through the door kind of thing.
Right.
So they finally come in. Frank says, okay, come on in. You know, we'll put our paperwork aside for a second. All that paperwork was bills piling up that they were trying to figure some things out. And they sit down and they say, look, Frank, you know, our son, Christian, loves you, looks up to you all the time when you're driving around and going out there. You know, this is an Arizona patrolman.
On a motorcycle. He drove a motorcycle.
Yeah, and this little kid, six-year-old kid, thought he was a sheriff of the whole town.
Right.
So, So he says that they tell him that their six-year-old child was just diagnosed with leukemia and had basically 6 months to live. And he just broke down. He's like, oh, my gosh, what can we do for him? And they said, well, one of his wishes, can everyone guess who Frank Chankwitz is at this point? One of his wishes was to become a sheriff like you, Frank. And I know you're a patrolman, but can you take him around? And I just imagine them going and getting a Granada and putting a Radio Shack light on the top and driving the kid around and giving tickets to everybody and making his wish come true. So he's obviously the founder of Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yep, an incredible, incredible organization. So one more name. This is my favorite one because on a weekly basis, I beat this guy in tennis. That would be Mr. Greg Reed.
He's going to have to break that habit, huh?
I guess it's not David Corbin then.
No, it's Greg Reed.
Greg's such a great, great friend of mine as well. And you know, Greg's got the philosophy of introducing people for the benefit of you, the benefit of everyone out there in the world instead of him. You know, I've emulated that philosophy where I want to meet people and introduce people to others so that they can connect but have no benefit to me. You know, if there's a benefit on the back end, fantastic, but that's not the main purpose. And Greg's philosophy is the main purpose of his philosophy is just to help others, you know, to give and you shall receive. And he always quotes, you know, a lot of you know Greg's story, part of his best-selling book, 3 Feet from Gold, sitting right here in one of my bookcases over here. And he just, you know, he always reiterates the fact of Napoleon Hill's thoughts of the fact that you are the culmination of the people you surround yourself with, the people you hang out with, people you read their books and take notes and use their information. So I really believe in that, and that's why I surround myself with people like him.
Yeah, I mean, somebody asked me about a month ago about the most important question you can ask when meeting somebody, because most people, when they meet somebody, they start, you know, talk about, you know, it's about yourself, like, hi, I'm Richard, I'm the best CPA on the planet. And I said, no, you want to start a conversation by asking somebody, how may I serve?
Sure, I agree.
Because that's the best question, you know, what can I do to make your life better?
Yeah,
and you're right.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, the laws of the universe are such that'll come back to you.
Yeah, but stay tuned, everybody. We've got to take a short break right now. We'll come back with more of Rich Roman in Your Life after this. All right, we're back with the last segment of It's Your Money in Your Life with Eric Swanson. He is founding CEO of Universal Seminars in Austin, Texas, and Richard. So welcome back, everybody. Richard, why'd you want that song
played? Okay, look, I'm not playing It's So Vain by Carly Simon because Eric Swanson is vain.
Oh, this goes to the trivia question. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's Carly Simon's dad, I'm going to give this away, is Richard Simon. And Richard Simon, well, anybody who's ever published probably knows what his company is, Simon & Schuster.
Yeah.
And he helped Jackie Robinson buy his first house, which I think was in Stamford, Connecticut. But in the first year with the Dodgers, he spent a lot of time at the Simon household. Mr. and Mrs. Simon and their little girl Carly, who went on to become a great recording artist.
I did not know that. Well, I would have preferred I haven't got time for the pain, but okay.
Well, how about anticipation?
How about it?
She did anticipation.
Yes, she did.
So see, I'm just, you know, Eric, when I said I do 12 things at once, I'm just proving it here on the air.
I'll tell you one thing.
You got like three more things right there.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Well, Richard, you better get over to Jackie Robinson's Wikipedia page because that is not there. I don't know where you... I mean, how'd you learn this story? How do you know about this?
That's a long story. I don't have time for it.
Okay.
So anyway. because we'd have to cut our guest out for the last 7 minutes if I were to tell the story of how I know this. Well, so we're not going to do that to Eric Swanson, the Habitude Warrior.
Wait, I'm curious about the story now.
I'll shoot you an email offline someday.
All right. Sounds good.
So, Eric, you talk about your secrets. We don't have a lot of time left on the show. If there's one or two things you can tell somebody about how to make changes so that going forward they can get their arms around the things that they want, what would those one or two things be?
Oh, man, let's give them make a decision, stick-to-itiveness, like Greg Reed tells us all the time. Go ahead and write down a few things that you want to change. Put down what I call the why test. you know, why do you want to change those things? So what I do is I'll write down 3, 4, 5 items that I think are getting in my way, and why do I want to change those items?
So is writing something down really important?
Oh, my God, yeah. It reminds me of we used to work with a lot of sports organizations and found out that Michael Jordan, years ago, when he was about 5 years old, started writing down his goals to be in the NBA, and just a tons of different goals, and just writing them down. We've learned that statistically, the written word is critical, and a lot of people don't. You know, it's interesting how business people. You know, you guys run this show for business associates and everybody. I mean, looking at real estate investors and everybody, they always try to get the commitment levels from their clients and have them write down, let's say, a contract or sign a contract. Yet most of our listeners don't even sign their own contract of their own goals that they set in place for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's very, very true. Let me switch directions a little bit here. So the organizations that you speak to and that your speakers speak to, are they individuals or are they actually companies, big companies, small companies? I mean, who are your best customers?
Oh man, anybody and everybody. We work with anyone from Johnson & Johnson to, I just worked with Lululemon.
Oh yeah, Lululemon. That's a great place.
It is. They've got a great culture too. You know, I just learned recently, actually, ironically, Lululemon, Tickets Chip, who's the founder from Canada, he ended up emulating the whole business plan from Brian Tracy. He actually wrote Brian Tracy a letter saying that he's sorry that he literally had a pirated copy of one of Brian's business CD set back in the day. Maybe it was an 8-track tape or something. And he actually had a pirated copy and built a multi-million dollar business because of it.
Wow.
And then went back to go ahead and say, hey, how much I owe you to Brian. So I think that's pretty funny. But we work with any big corporations to entrepreneurs, to small business owners. We literally tell our small business owners, our goal is not to work with you in the future because we want to make you a big business owner.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I've always said that the key to success of somebody who mentors others is to make yourself obsolete. That means you've done the job. If you can't make yourself obsolete, you know, that's the key, is for that person to grow and to flourish and then become a mentor to others. And so it goes and so it goes. And I think that's how the human race moves forward.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you ever get out to San Diego, Eric?
Absolutely. I live there as well. I live,
okay.
I kind of live in both places right now. I'm in the second best city right now in the United States, in Austin, Texas.
That's like the center of the country and western scene, isn't it?
It is. We just had South by Southwest recently here.
Okay.
It's a big music mecca. I mean, all kinds of musical venues there, correct? I mean,
absolutely.
So the creative arts.
Kind of like a gas lamp just stuck in Texas.
Hmm.
So
yeah.
It's really great. A lot of people actually are moving out to Austin from San Diego. It's very interesting.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. So here's my last question, because we only have about a minute. You are the Habitude Warrior. What did you write down today or yesterday, or what habit are you trying to develop or trying to change?
Right now, I'm working on a new book, and it's going to be that's my next habit, is working on this book to collaborate with some people that I've met actually out in Greg Reed's last event over in San Diego recently.
Okay. Can we ask what the book's about, or is it too early to disclose?
It is too early to disclose. It is a secret. It's part of the Secret Habitudes.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah.
Interesting. When do you think it's going to be out?
About 5 months from now.
Oh, so late in the year. Because what we should do is have you back on after it releases.
Yeah,
because
great.
You know, Greg's got a book coming out with Penguin Press, I think in October. Stickability.
Yeah.
So I told him he could be on the show a week or two before that release, so we can make it a New York Times bestseller, because, you know, millions of people are listening to us.
That'd be fantastic. In fact, I've joined Greg and my buddy Frank Shankwitz and a bunch of other guys. We co-wrote a book called Universal Wish.
I'm in there with you. You didn't know that.
Yeah.
Ah! That's
outstanding, Eric, but we've got to unfortunately take
it. Eric, really appreciate it.
Yeah, listen, thanks for being our guest tonight, and we'll have you back again. Richard, you have a great week. Well, next week it's Fred Saxon, entertainment reporter extraordinaire, and he'll be our guest. And thank you to Justin Hart on the board. Thank you to Dave Sniff, our programming director, and Craig Blank, your account executive. You have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday night on It's Your Money and Your Life.
Eric, thank you.
Thank you. Good night now.